One of the bigger problems is the identification of the problem. You identify it physically. I don't know who you're talking to when you say it, but nobody's listening. We don't have a physical problem. We have a physical belief. We don't have a physique to have a problem. Something in the way you identify your problem nails it down and makes it the problem. See that you speak a little lighter when you identify the problem. You don't have a broken rib. That's how they'll mark it. You don't have a faulty heart. That's how it'll be listed. You don't have a heart. You don't have a liver. You don't have a lung. You're not going to heal concepts. But when you can be brought to see that I am not a physical being, I am spirit, you will find that most of the physical ailments cannot attack. They're only attacking your belief. I am not a physical being. I'm not telling that to my doctor. I'm not telling that to any of the medical men who are taking care of my body. I'm knowing that I am pure spirit. Can you know that? Your physical foot can't hurt you. You don't have one. Your spiritual foot won't hurt you. It's the belief in the physical body that makes possible the fact that we think we are being invaded by germs, inadequacies. But as we loosen this rigid belief, you'll find a way if you know you've got to do it. You find I can't have a problem. I have to have a body first to have it. Now it's very radical to tell a person you don't have a body. But we have to work on having a spiritual body. For me to know I have a spiritual body, and it's not this size. It's universal. And I can't know what knowing this will do for me until I know it. You're making a conversion. You're stepping out of belief into fact. I don't have physical lungs. I don't have a physical heart. I don't have a physical brain. And I kind of feel strange when I deny it, when I rest in the knowledge that I have something called spirit, which thinks for me. But I'll feel funny until one day spirit will think for me. And I'll say, what's that? self of you. And I know I'm not familiar to you because you've never seen me or talked to me or anything. You lived without me, but I am the self of you. And as you open up a little and let me in, let me talk to you. I'm real. And you'll slowly drop. You'll slowly learn. There's a self of me. It's not me. It's something else. And then you realize that the self of you is not the physical self of you. You're going to go into this. You're going to awaken to it. This is the awakening. When spirit talks to you, just a word perhaps, just a thought, the first awakening of the spirit presence making itself known to an individual is exciting. Someone else lives here. I have lived here for a long time, but someone else lives here. Yes, I am the spirit of you. And though I am patient, and though I am waiting, though I have never interfered with your life, now, as you open to me, as you hear one word, as you feel another life stirring within you, you are coming alive. Right here on the earth, someday you will step out of this belief and form. Maybe quicker than you think. Sometimes you can't believe that the spirit in you is alive. You feel it's alive and you hadn't noticed it before. Then there's a twitch. You think it's just another twitch. No, it isn't. It feels funny talking to a presence within you because the presence isn't within you. There's an aliveness. Suddenly something is alive beyond you. When that glorious moment happens, you are beginning to feel the birth of another selfhood. A selfhood that will shuffle off all the encrusted opinions that had been built up within you. Hear it at first. It's speaking to you. It's saying, I am the spirit of you. You feel the words forming. People are going to look different to you. Please listen for this. Expect it. It's a new life, a new birth. a you that is and always has been, and it will begin to be a fade out of the you that thinks of itself as you. It's a slight changeover that develops into a larger changeover until there's a spiritual you walking the earth. It begins in a deep silence. I think we ought to pause now and look into more that we have a little later. Recently, a woman came to my home. Her husband brought her. She was about 55, she was, and I didn't examine her body with instruments or anything like that, but she told me everything that was wrong with her. Nothing was working. Everything was out of kilter. I mean, everything was out of kilter. She shouldn't be walking. She shouldn't be alive. And she was there. And we had an unusual experience with her. But I'd like someone else to tell you about it, because I think she had more of an understanding of what happened, and she had the experience of what happened. Anyway, Cheryl, I'd like you to talk if you're here. Okay. This lady, I don't even know her name, but Cheryl's going to give you the facts about it, and about anything else that you feel you want to.
Well, I think I want to start with how we're taught that the light goes so far ahead of us, and how at times that experience is felt, but it doesn't always manifest. It's like, well, gee, I know it happens, but I can't see it sometimes. In 1955, Herb Fitch met Betty Fitch, and they met one night, and I think the next day he asked her to marry him. And I think 3 days later, they were married. In 1955, Pagan Sid Rafelson gave birth to a girl named Cheryl. And it wasn't too far from the city that Herb and Betty had just gotten married in. And it was a while before Herb found the Infinite Way. And by that time, Cheryl was about 10 or 11. And Herb started coming to Sacramento and giving Infinite Way classes. And I was coming home from school and showing my parents books about Lao Tzu and Buddha and Cahill Gibran and saying, Mom, Dad, look at this. What's going on? This is fantastic stuff. And I grew up in a very open family, but we had no organized religion, so I was very insulated from orthodox religion. And my parents were wonderful. But the reason I'm telling you this is I learned these coincidences in the last year from getting to finally spend time with Herb. And I truly believe that my consciousness was being touched at that time. He was coming to Sacramento and giving Infinite Way classes. I was growing up about 3 miles from where he was giving these classes. It shaped my consciousness. It prepared me. And I continued with a thirst that was unquenchable. And then about 6 years ago, a dear, dear friend, the Mollenhauers in San Diego, I knocked on their door one day and I said, I've got some questions. I need some answers. Well, they handed me one of Joel's books and said, you're ready. Here it is. Go home. Study. Come back when you're ready to talk again. When I went to Kauai, I had a plane ticket a month before. I knew Herb had some changes going to come into his life, and I said, why don't you let me come study for 2 weeks and just settle in with you a little bit? He said, that sounds great. I'll meet you after St. Petersburg. Well, neither of us knew that there would be a hurricane and that there would be such dramatic changes coming in both of our lives. But there was a hurricane, and Herb called me from St. Petersburg, and he said, well, do you still want to come? And I said, of course I'm going to come. When I arrived in Kauai, the experiences that we had with the people that were trying to assist the Hawaiians was not a favorable, loving experience. And Spirit seems to take us where we're needed. And that experience was more likened to, I come not to bring peace, but a sword. I was in Kauai. I was seeing that somebody had to stand up and tell these insurance adjusters, you can't do this to people in such a vulnerable time. And with assistance and help and lots of meditation, I think we corrected some things there. And I think the Hawaiians were dealt with in a little better manner. From there, Herb and I have been brought together under the same roof and living in a spiritual household and learning things that neither of us knew we even needed to learn. And that brings me to the one healing Herb was going to have me explain to you. In San Diego, this woman came up to me and we had kind of an electric experience. There weren't words, there wasn't much exchange, but there was some kind of feeling. When we went back home, she called and said, Herb, I want to come to your house. So Herb said, sure, we'd love to have you come. When she arrived, Herb said, I'd like you to meditate with us, Cheryl. And I said, oh, that'd be wonderful. I really had a wonderful experience with this woman. In Kauai, Herb and I would get up in the middle of the night and have wonderful meditations. One night, there were two light bodies that came as Herb and I sat on the couch holding hands, watching the electrical light storms. And these two light bodies danced and danced and danced all night. And even until the next morning, with my eyes open, in consciousness, they were still with me. Well, 8 months went by, and I hadn't had an experience with the two light bodies again. And if I could have produced an experience, I would have. But as you all know, in meditation, that isn't how it works. Well, this woman came from Arizona, and we sat down to meditate. And the next thing I knew, the two light bodies were there again. And they lifted her light body out of her form. Her light body was tattered and shorn and very frail, and it wouldn't have lifted if the assistance wasn't there. The two light bodies started to dance through her soul, and it was really a lovely, lovely experience. When we came out of meditation, I thought, oh, I can't talk about this. So we smiled and said we all had a lovely meditation. And it was about 3 or 4 days before I went to Herb and said, Herb, you know, something really amazing happened. I want to tell you about it. Well, he thought that was really lovely, and we waited to hear from this woman. Well, it had to be about 4 months. And I was at my parents' house because my mom had just been diagnosed with a brain tumor. So I was at my mom and dad's, and I get a phone call, and it was Herb, and he said, Cheryl, this woman just came to our home. She drove again from Arizona to tell me that she'd had a really miraculous healing. And I said, Herb, if I ever needed confirmation, it was today, to stand fast with my own mind. I have had no fear at all about her supposed form. And I don't understand the healings yet. They're never the same. And yet they seem to bring a lot of fruit. The one experience that I do feel like I really want to share with you is one that's supposedly didn't bring about a healing. One evening about 10 o'clock, this was a few years ago, I heard, you have to go down and have dinner. Go down and have dinner. So I thought, okay, you know, I'll go down and have dinner. So I went to this restaurant, local restaurant that I knew a friend of mine worked at. I hadn't seen him in a while. I went in and I said, Peter, how are you? He said, oh, I'm not doing well. My sister has been diagnosed with a brain tumor and she's very, very ill. And I thought, oh, so this is why I've been called, and I'll go home and get to work. Well, this young woman passed and she didn't have a healing. And I thought, oh, I didn't work hard enough. What happened? You know, I have so much still to learn. It was a year later that I was in meditation and these huge waves started coming through. And then there was a dolphin. The dolphin said, I need to enter you. I need you. And I didn't understand what this was about. And I said, well, of course, I'm one with you. What do you need? Well, this dolphin and I became one. And the next thing I knew, I was in 15, 20-foot waves. And it was really an extraordinary feeling. And it brought about a surrender that I try and stay with always. After that experience of surrender, the dolphin said, I'm Jessie. I want you to tell my mother I've made transition. I did what I was to do. You have to tell her. I didn't understand. I never knew Peter's sister's name. Well, when Herb came back to Santa Cruz with me, I needed some things done around this new house. And I called Peter. I said, Peter, you know, I heard you were doing da-da-da-da-da. We need some help. So he came over and I said, how's your mom doing and how's your family doing? And he said, well, you know, since Jesse passed, everyone's had a really hard time. And I said, Peter, your sister's name is Jesse? And he said, yeah. Well, I couldn't say anything to Peter. I didn't know if he had a spiritual inkling in his big toe, you know, let alone divulge anything after all the chapters I've read about secrecy. So I sat down and wrote him a card. And for about 3 months, he came around and helped around the house. And finally, one day, he came in and I said, Peter, you want some lunch? He said, yeah. He goes, could you go to the post office and write my mom a letter? And, you know, just jokingly, well, I had this card that I had written him. And I pulled it out of the drawer and I said, well, why don't you send her this? And I thought, if I've done this, it must be okay. 2 days later, Peter called and he said, Cheryl, I needed that. My mom needs that. And I really thank you. I don't still understand how we're to communicate the work. I find it very hard to tell people about the experiences. It sounds outlandish. It sounds a bit crazy. But for some reason, it is the only work that I know and the only work that seems to fill my heart and my home with love and peace and brings people like Herb Fitch into my life. It's hard to talk about. It's something that I feel like needs to be expressed in the right fertile soil. And I'm still learning how myself to do that. I'd like to read you something that might help a little bit. I listen beyond death into the life eternal. That is where we become one. I hear the voice of God, and human life is non-existent. To listen beyond death is an awareness. It frees us from mortal man. We may walk through concepts of death in the quiet. Then we realize the true order of reality. We are that which is permanent. To experience the substance is to know God aright. This is the transition of consciousness. The awareness is the permanent substance. The eternal love speaks through the silence and remains forever. That isn't about Cheryl, it isn't about Tom or Bob. It's about an infinite, invisible self that was never born and that will never, ever die. And those are the mystical things that keep unfolding. And I'm glad to at least be able to share it in this environment. It's very, very nice.
Thank you. Well, that's a different mystical experience. And I thought it would be good for you to hear that because it's not likely that you'll hear something quite like it for a while. I think between Doris's healing and Cheryl's healing, there is a difference in approach. But the point is that in the difference of approach, the same conclusion is reached in the individual. Now, when one can heal a certain way and one can heal another way, you and I have an opportunity to look at both sides of the method of healing and to find what our affinity is. You may find that you can't go beyond death to contact something in an individual. You may find that you stay here and you work in a different level, a more mundane level for a while, and then you come out of it. But each type of healing is so unusual that when it happens, you see that there's really no limitation. Anyone who has the healing capacity is invited into that area of finding the false and being aware of the true and reinstating the true. I find Cheryl's way of doing it most unusual. I find Doris's method of doing it is most down to the needle's eye. She's careful to do her work every day so that the patient is always receiving from the healer. I wouldn't hesitate to put any case in front of either one and know that the best work will be done. It doesn't matter what their needs are or who they are. They'll be faced with a certain sense of love, a certain sense of spiritual love, a certain sense of, I see it, but I don't believe it. And it will bring to it that level of consciousness which they don't believe to exist in the material world, and they will bring it to the spiritual level that will lift it. And these healings are real now. Please know that. I feel anyone who calls is going to get an opportunity to be faced with an individual who knows what is required and can furnish that in such a way that the rehabilitation will be automatic. They'll probably miss a time or two or six. The point is there will be a certain quality that comes at the problem and a certain love of you that comes forth. I myself had some of those experiences that Cheryl discussed. I was in Kauai and I looked at the waves and there they were. Two forms actually dancing. I saw them. I mean, it always spellbinds me when something like that happens. Because out of the world of that we know, something else appears. Saw those forms dancing for a long time. I didn't know what the significance was. But I walked out of Kauai with a complete financial healing, you might say. Anyway, the last time we saw strangeness in healing was in the forms that appear. boy appearing in my bedroom. And I was angry at first. I was going to say, how did you get in here? Till I realized it was a spiritual form. And then I looked twice. It was still there in the dark. Just staring at me. I turned away from it. To give him a chance to get out. Then I turned back, and he was still there. And I was still angry. Where did he get his nerve busting into my house? He never said a word. All of a sudden, he went through the window and out. No sound, nothing. I shook my head twice, but he was there. Why was he there? What was communicated to me that I'm not aware of? I can't tell you. I don't know. I know I went out, did a class, and it was a fine class. Maybe he helped me. I don't know. But when those things start happening, something's happening to you. You can start to see that you're going to be used in some way. So this may happen to you in some way that you don't anticipate. It's always a good sign, believe me. I'd gladly invite him back if he'd come, but I don't think he's listening to me. What happens, happens. When it happens, because there's a purpose for it. And you're only given something that has a miraculous purpose that is fulfilled by that presence in some way. What it does is it takes us out of the mundane belief that this world that we see is going to deliver us to some Godfather. No, it's not this world that does it. It's something beyond visibility in the world. Something that's always present. And we just get a little inkling of this and a little inkling of that. I guess 500 angels could have appeared in the room as well as a little boy. But they didn't. Apparently I would have been floored too much. So now, what I'd like to get across to you is that if you need some assurance, it'll come. If it's a little invisible boy who appears visible, somehow you know that something is supporting you. Something is bringing something to you. Something from another dimension. A really, truly present dimension that produces an individual that you cannot believe until you see it. Now, in this form that Chara read to you, in which she says in the first line, she immediately enters into something beyond death to heal. I consider that one of the most important statements I've ever read. Because it tells me that I can't heal right here. I've got to go beyond here. I'd like to impress upon you that going beyond here is what makes it possible for you to heal. Beyond the visible, your consciousness must roam quickly, and you must let it rest there. And then things start to happen that you can't explain. Let's get a final entry into the spirit and know that all of the spiritual world is present in this one spot. Where you are, where you are, where you are, the spiritual world is completely represented by your spirit. You are in touch with infinity right now. And as you dwell in your spirit, slowly becoming less human, more spiritual, you will find something opening up to you which will take you out of the world of nothingness into the glory of God. And all things become possible to you. And whatever is necessary happens to you. Always carry around the knowledge that whatever is necessary happens to you when you have attained your spiritual self. And attaining your spiritual self is not relegated to something I'm going to do in 500 years. With good luck, good concentration on where you're going, it can happen in the next minute. We want to expand our world out of this little pigeonhole that we stand in. We want the infinite possibilities all around us, because we won't call them into play. They will be sent by the Father to our spirit, the Father will work, and we will work also. We are living in a world of miracles, millions of miracles. It is the truth, the reality. And the closer you are to being the reality, the truth, the closer you are to finding that you and spirit are one. I can't stress that enough, because whenever I see an individual flirting with truth, I know he is turning spirit away. I thank Doris. I thank Cheryl. They both led some light into the achievements that we hope to find common among our students. They led us into an understanding of what can be accomplished. They led us into some of their perplexities to show us that there no one is a finished product. Love goes a long way. Love of spirit, which is pure. And as love is part of your attitude, your feeling, your everyday, it goes out further than you ever could imagine it. Your love comes back to you a thousandfold. Please remember that this universe is made of love. And in moments when you feel that somehow you have forgotten to love, and you feel that is a little dark, remember, love changes that. True spiritual love. World of spiritual miracles. Be aware of them. They're all around us. Many of them will happen because you will find your spirit.